we want to finish up our time in Troy by spotlighting one of our favorite businesses and a place perfect for pre- or post-show get-togethers this very musical weekend. And Alan, tell us about it.
Well, Brown's has been crafting dependable ales and lagers in the northern Hudson Valley since 1993 from their 19th century warehouse brewery in the eastern shore of the mighty Hudson River. They brew a bountiful of well-made traditional styles with a sense of pride and dutiful conviction.
Indeed they do. And joining us to discuss Brown's, their growth, and amazing food and drink, we welcome co-owner Kelly Brown and Brown's VP Greg Stacey. Greg and Kelly, thank you very much for being with us. A delight to have you with us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Nice to be here.
We love having you. We love working with you, and it's been hard to believe that you've been around for 20 years.
Yes, it is. My thoughts exactly. How did that happen?
So how did that happen? You found Troy how?
Well, I think the Hudson River. The mighty Hudson brought us to Troy. We loved Rensselaer County at the time. We were newly married. It was 1990, and we were looking for a place to. At the time, we didn't think about a restaurant. We wanted a brewery, and there were some beautiful buildings. Gary discovered Troy, and we found a really inexpensive building. We bought it for $60,000. The owner kept the mortgage for us, so it was a no-brainer. We got it cheap. We put a lot of labor of love into it, 3 years of work, tearing it apart, putting it back together. And that's because I'm married to a very talented person that can do that.
Yeah. Where is Gary today? Where is he? Is he out and about?
Yeah, he's at in North Hoosick at our new brewery.
Excellent. Yep, and we'll talk about that in a second.
Sure.
So when did you come into the equation?
I came on about 6 years ago, I think. I started out initially as a consultant. I've been in the beer business, the advertising marketing business, and I just met Gary kind of through my own promotion and started doing some freelance work. And I remember going to Tap New York probably about 5 years ago, and we just said, when are we going to make this thing a full-time thing? And he brought me out to Hoosick, showed me the factory there, and it was still in development, and I said, I'm in.
So give us a sense of, you have a place like this, MPAC, where we're broadcasting from, and they have all these amazing events, and people come to see those, and they will travel. What we've learned from microbrews is that people will also travel to visit you and to take you off the list. Oh, we've been there. So that brings up 2 points. One, the beer has to be good, and two, you have to get on that map. Mm-hmm. So how do you do that?
Well, really, you know, the beer geek or beer the beer geek community is pretty active in finding that. A lot of us as beer geeks will know where everything is. You know, it's the beer geek newspapers, Yankee Brew News, Ale Street News. We do a lot of press releases. We get on the board pretty easily in that industry. You know, in a community like this, a lot of people talk, a lot of people know what's going on. So it's really not that difficult to get your name out there for what's going on. A lot of people already think that we're functioning out in Hoosick right now.
But you become part of a major part of the economy. I mean, you mm-hmm. become part of the tourism of this area that people are coming to visit you and the brewery.
Sure. Yeah.
And by the way, you also take care of the locals.
Sure. I'm going to get me a Brown's beer, in other words.
Well, you probably would say it in correct English, but sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, I mean, we certainly, you know, Troy has a lot of people that come through, RPI, the schools in general. I mean, there's a lot of people that come through business. We have a lot of boat traffic that come up the Hudson during the summer that find
really?
Us. Oh, yeah. There are a few couples that will see us twice a year. They'll come up, stop here on their way up to Lake Champlain, and they'll stop back at the end of the summer.
Now, how do you have to keep the beer in order to not let it go bad? I mean, the Chartux, when our kids come home, they buy a lot of beer, and we probably always leave it in the wrong place. We leave it where it gets too cold.
Yeah, temperature is key. If a beer is bottled and it's cold, you want to keep it consistently cold.
Cool. Yeah.
However, with some of our bottling that we do, if it doesn't get to that temperature, it has a shelf life. The new brewery, it's great because we've invested. We have a quality control lab. We have now a special machine that will date our beers. because the quality, the freshness is very important, and our beers aren't brewed with preservatives or fillers, anything artificial. It's the real deal.
How long will they last?
Well, typically if kept, it does depend on the style. An IPA, which has more of a hop content, will last a bit longer. A hop is a natural preservative. And something that's a little more fragile, some of our seasonals, won't last. Bottle cover color, is important as well. But
why is that?
Well, brown bottles are what we prefer to bottle in. Clear bottles do light sunlight and oxygen are the enemies of beer. It's a perishable product. The yeast is still living. We don't pasteurize. Very few of us do pasteurize. The big breweries pasteurize and they use preservatives. Sunlight is retarded, is primarily retarded by brown glass. Clear glass doesn't retard any sunlight, and green glass actually magnifies sunlight. So that's where you get a beer that skunks and goes a little bit funky.
Really still bottle in clear bottles?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we know a few. We're not going to name names. But
very large. Expensive, cheaply made.
Joe is nodding his head.
Well, if you go into a typical, but it's because of the preservatives, they can keep it, and it looks. And it's usually like a summer beer or have fruit in it or something, and it's a clear bottle. But it's so when you think of what you're doing. Not to diminish what you all are doing, but you're reflective of the industry as a whole, which is growing. Mm-hmm. The brew pubs are growing. You're beating the big guys in many cases, and so you look at your growth over the last 5-10 years. It's terrific. I mean, this is in a down economy, so much so that you've been able to open a new brewery, the Wolumzak Brewery in North Hoosick, which means, Alan, and this is exciting.
I want to know about this.
A half mile to a mile radius, you have a drive-in and a brewery in the same stretch of road, very exciting to me.
Yeah, it's great news. We couldn't be more thrilled. Our community is very supportive. It is North Hoosick. Gary and I have a home in West Hoosick. Our girls go to school right in Hoosick Falls, and the community support is just incredible. We have a lot of local help. We were out last week in the hop yard, which is on our property in West Hoosick.
You grow your own hops?
We do. We do. And one of my favorite beers is that those hops are made from our Harvest IPA.
Okay, so let me ask you a question while I have you here, because as you come into Great Barrington, where I live, on Route 41, somebody's opened up a hops field. They're growing hops.
Yes, I read about that.
And it's very interesting because they have all these things, they look like slanted telephone poles standing up there. What's that? Do you have any idea?
Yeah. Hops are perennial. A rooting that you plant, and typically you do that in early spring. And we've had our hop yard it'll be the sixth year. And after a few years, you can start harvesting. They trellis up.
Oh, so that's
so
why
the poles. Are to create the height and the trellis system. They don't take up a lot of real estate because they will trellis up as high as 20 feet. Oh. So you don't need a lot of acreage to grow a plentiful hop field.
Because for a while ago, there was a hop shortage, right? Is that why people started getting into it?
You got it.
Yeah.
Well, there's a renaissance in general. I mean, it kind of mirrors the craft brewing industry. Craft beer, great cheese, great bread. Ingredients, you know, all of us who like to make our own anything. We like tomatoes in our own backyard, although we're not going to make enough tomatoes to supply us forever. We like to grow our own hops because it's just part of the magic, really.
So a lot of things I want to get to in a very short period of time, but you have three glasses in front of you of ingredients. So what are those ingredients, and are any of them hops?
These are hops in the center here. Hops are a flower. Actually, even if you...
There you go.
I can smell them.
That's what you're growing.
They're a little citrusy. They're a little piney. That is what gives the bitter flavor and aroma to beer. It's actually a natural preservative as well. The resins and hops will retard a lot.
It reminds me of something, but I don't know.
It's in family.
it is
the same family.
It has floral undertones. The word bitterness doesn't always... for me, describe a hop, because I can smell a hop and I smell floral notes to it as well. Right. It's very grassy and earthy.
Where'd you learn all that?
Believe it or not, I
osmosis, I think, right?
From my husband. He's really smart, and I said, you know, I just, like you earlier, I don't think I like beer. Yeah. And I just...
I did say that, didn't I?
You did. You yeah. did. But that's okay, because I said it too, and I was way wrong. And now I'm so spoiled, and I love our beer.
Yeah,
I
sure.
love our beer.
And there's so many different styles.
I have a very biased opinion, but I do love craft beer in general. And but our beers, for me, are traditionally brewed. They're not over the top. There is a trend to big ingredients, a lot of hops, a lot of people are brewing beers with coffees and
bacon.
All sorts of bacon, yeah. chocolate.
It's gross.
And I just love our styles. I love our porter.
Jalapeno bacon.
Yeah.
Right.
Ugh. You know, it's okay, but it's not for me personally.
So do people spend a lot of time with the hops? Or, as I have to say, at the hop?
At the hop. That's where the phrase
came field.
From.
Yeah. The hop field.
Came from the hop.
Yeah.
We do a lot. This is actually a tractor we use to...
Oh, boy.
In the hop field.
Now, let me... So, when we were at TAP New York recently, everybody was talking about that, well, you have to go over to Brown's because one of the best beers there is the Malbec.
Yes, the Maybach.
Maybach,
yep.
Maybach, M-A-I-B-O-C-K.
German for May, and
okay.
Bach is the style. It came from Einbeck, Germany.
Okay.
And it was actually a bastardization from the Bavarian brewers who would call it Einbeck, and the Beck became Bach, and it was traditionally brewed in May. It's a lager.
Bach.
My Bach. Your Bach, my Bach.
My Bach.
My Bach.
Watch my Bach.
Yeah. But it's this is actually the first time I've had a chance to sample this. It's the first time we've done a Bach before.
Oh, okay. Ooh. That's very nice.
Looks good, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit sweet, a little bit bready. It's got a nice aroma to it. It's really, Bachs are traditionally, well, my Bachs are traditionally made in May. So we like to do a lot of seasonal beers that really, you know, fiddleheads this time of year. So
yeah.
Bach, my Bachs come out now. Hefeweizen's come out in summer. We do an Oktoberfest in October, Christmas beers around Christmas. So we like to keep things pretty fresh and seasonal.
Our pumpkin ale from Moses Farm around the corner from...
Yep.
From you, Joe.
That's right. Right on the Rensselaer Washington County line, mm-hmm. and of Grandma Moses fame.
Of course,
that farm.
Yeah. Of course.
In the half a minute that we have left, so your summer will consist of getting the new place will be up and operating, and then like that's not open. You're just producing there. That's your brewing.
Right. It's our production brewery. Our wholesale business.
So if we still want to come to MPAC and go to ASO and do all that stuff, we go to Brown's first or after, but we still go in Troy.
Absolutely. We'll have a tasting room open up in Hoosick, but we're probably about a year away from that.
Yeah, let me know.
Yeah.
Oh,
we'll
do. Excellent. Yeah. It's always a delight. You guys have been great friends for many, many years, and we thank you so much for coming in.
Oh,
it's a delight
you.
To have you with
Ditto.
Us.
See you around the block.
This is you're the station we listen to in our home. So
well, we love you very much. Thank you so much. We're out of time. Alan, we have to say goodbye.
Yes,
we need to leave this place of experimental media and performance and turn it over to the capable hands of the Albany Symphony Orchestra and their guests for the American Music Festival. A reminder, you can find out everything you need to know, albanysymphony.com/American Music Festival.
Sincere thanks to the guests who joined us this morning, with special thanks to Maestro David Allen Miller and Allison Bolton, the ASO's Director of Artistic Operations. Thanks to Adam Claremont for knowing how to get us on the air, keeping it that way, and a big tip of the hat to the man on the board back home, Dave Hopper.
Midday Magazine next.